Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Welcome to Capital City Recap. A busy news day today, especially right next door in Grand Rapids, where yesterday's killing spree is making national headlines. I'll get all the latest details in the second half of this half hour. But let's begin with the latest in Lansing, or rather the lack of activity at the Capitol, as lawmakers begin an extended summer break. To talk about what we can expect when they return, I'm joined by Bill Ballinger, editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Glad to be with you, Mike.
So lawmakers are taking the summer off. One of the presumptions is that they spend time in their home districts getting feedback from their constituents. How much negative reactions are they likely getting this year, and will that have any influence on what happens this fall?
I don't think they're going to get that much negative reaction, principally because they've done so much in the first 6 months of 2011. They passed a budget for the next fiscal year before Memorial Day for the first time in three decades. They passed a lot of other legislation, some of it controversial, emergency local financial manager legislation, got rid of item pricing. They've phased out the state's business tax, replaced it with another tax. In fact, a lot of people saying, go home. You've done too much. Democrats in particular don't like what the Republicans have done. And so I don't think you're going to find people wringing their hands and moaning and groaning among the electorate about the legislature taking a lot of time off this summer.
How about the situation with the MEA ramping up for a recall effort on several Republican lawmakers, while another group is actively petitioning to recall Governor Snyder? How uncommon is it to see such a widespread effort to kick legislators out less than a year into their term?
Well, less than a year into their term, it is unusual. The only other time it's really happened was 1983. To a lesser extent, you could say it happened back in 2008, just 3 years ago. But the legislators at that time precipitated recalls against them by passing a tax hike in the fall of 2007. And so they'd been in office at that point about 9, 10, 11 months before they'd really gotten people upset and angry. This time, you're right, they've barely taken office, many of them freshmen, never having served in the legislature before. And here, 6 months into their terms, they're being faced with recall. Very unusual. Only two times before this, since World War II, have there been massive recall efforts. Again, 1983 was the first time, 2008 the second time. This is the third. There are 13 recall efforts that have been certified at this point as to the language on the petitions. So the people who are mounting these recall efforts in various different House and Senate districts are circulating petitions now, and there are a number of other efforts underway to recall legislators that have not resulted in certified petition language yet. So there may be more efforts coming.
I mean, when you see, it looks like Speaker Jace Bolger and also Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville are likely to face this issue. And in their cases, they just need, you know, several thousand, let's say, signatures to have that end up on the ballot. Is it realistic that we will see some of these legislators recalled?
Well, you know, that is the $64,000 question to use a tired old cliche. Everybody's waiting to see whether just one legislator gets recalled. I mean, that, in my view, Mike, is all it's really going to take. If you recall one legislator, and it doesn't have to be a high-profile Speaker of the House like Jace Bolger or Randy Richardville in the Senate. It could be some lowly freshman backbencher just elected. But if that freshman is recalled, it will send shockwaves through the Capitol. It'll have a big effect on the legislature. Believe me, politicians are very, very sensitive individuals. They're very nervous. Paranoid might not be too strong a term. And if something like a recall happens to one of them, they'll realize it could happen to them as well. And, of course, there'll be other recall efforts ongoing even after this single legislator might be recalled. On the other hand, I will say that it could backfire on the individuals or the organizations like the Michigan Education Association who have mounted these petition efforts to recall legislators. If they fail, if they fall short, I think you'll find that the Republican legislators will be able to tout the fact that they have survived, that they were hunted down like wounded prey by enemies of reform and enemies of change, and yet they withstood the assault, and that the people behind the recalls, including a lot of interest groups affiliated, most of them with the Democratic Party, have really done a disservice to state government by mounting these drives. That's what they, the Republicans, will claim if they're successful. We're just going to have to wait and see how these efforts go. I will say the MEA getting behind this and maybe putting money and man and woman power behind it in terms of collecting signatures, that could be significant.
That could change things. Now, I'm talking to Bill Ballinger, editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Another issue here is this $145 million of concessions the state is going to be asking from the state's unionized workers. Among that group are the corrections workers. They're actually expected to take on half of that of those concessions. The situation at state facilities and our prisons are apparently becoming dangerous and downright frightening at this point. It seems like an issue that's directly tied to public safety. How are lawmakers allowing these levels of cuts to go through?
Well, let's put it this way. Corrections has become a bigger and bigger part of the state budget over the last couple of decades to the point where it really has threatened funding for a lot of other things that people say are more important, like higher education, like K-12 education, like revenue sharing, and so forth. And the legislature felt it's got to draw the line somewhere, and it's got to get concessions where it can get them. You're right that there is always a danger when you're dealing with corrections that public safety could be jeopardized. All it takes, Mike, is for, you know, somebody to be let out of prison early or for some prison riot to break out, and there are going to be headlines all over the place that are going to scare the electorate, scare the voters, scare the politicians, and they may very well walk it all back and say, wait a second, we can't get concessions from corrections people. We got to pay them the utmost. We got to have as many as we can. We've got to batten down the hatches. We got to keep the bad guys in prison.
Right.
We can't do this.
Now, about a minute left. You know, this public-private bridge between Detroit and Canada, such a strong campaign for it. Even Republicans pulled back, this last month and decided not to go ahead with this. Do you see this project moving ahead this fall?
Well, when you say moving ahead, if you're asking me whether I think the Detroit River Bridge is going to be approved by the legislature this fall, I do not know. There's a good possibility it won't. I do think it will be moving ahead as an issue this summer and fall because I think Rick Snyder, the governor, is fully behind it. Mm-hmm. There are some legislators who are for it. There are obviously a lot of interest groups and a lot of prominent officials not necessarily in government at all, including past governors as diverse as John Engler, a Republican, and Jennifer Granholm, a Democrat, who are for it. So there will be a drumbeat of support by the news media, particularly in the Detroit metro area, for this bridge. The governor will be for it. The legislature is reluctant, and it remains to be seen whether the votes are going to be there to approve it.
Well, it should be interesting to find out. That's Bill Ballinger, editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Thank you for joining me, Bill.
My pleasure, Mike.
This is Capital City Recap. We'll be